This week in chapel, we have been hearing some of the great stories of salvation by grace. Today is another beautiful one, the story of Zacchaeus found in Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1. Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He's gone to be the guest with a man who's a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor, and if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, but because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. You may be seated. Back when I was in college, I was working at a car dealership right here in town. And there was a gentleman that worked with me who was a tremendous mechanic, probably the best mechanic in the shop. And he told me one day that he had just purchased an old beat-up wreck. It was a 1957 Chevy, which he thought was the most perfect car. A lot of car collectors think that was a great model. And he showed me some pictures of it. It was just a beat-up old thing and hardly paid very much for it. But he was a very talented mechanic, and he also loved to restore things. And so for probably over a year, he took that thing into his garage and worked on it and worked on it and put money into it and invested in it and put time into it and took apart the little pieces of the engine and scrubbed them all up. And I remember every once in a while in work, he would bring something back, a piece from the car, and wash it or do something with it at the shop. And so we were all wondering what this was going to turn out like. And one day he said, "Do you want to come with me? Come out to my house and see the car that I've worked on." So he took me out there and went in his garage. And I just could not believe how perfect that car looked. Cherry red and just chrome bumpers and just beautiful, everything about it. And he opened the hood, the engine, everything was polished and perfect. And it was just amazing. I thought to myself, the guy that sold him this piece of junk, if he could see now what the new owner has done with this and how it has completely changed this vehicle, what an amazing transformation that was. You could tell a new owner had touched it. Prior to the account that I just read to you in our text from Luke, the heart of Zacchaeus, had been owned by a very self-centered, greedy soul. And Zacchaeus himself admits that. Now, he was a publican, not a Republican, but a publican. And publicans were often people among the Jewish people that were hired by the Romans, the oppressive empire over them, hired by the Romans to gather their taxes and things. And do more than that at times. And in order for them to have an income, they could skim a little bit off the top. Well, they took advantage of the system quite often, and they were known in the community, you can tell by the comments of the people, when Jesus calls this tax collector down out of the tree, says he wants to go to his house. You can tell by the response of the people, they were thought of as the lowest of the low, because they were ripping people off all the time. Can you imagine if you went through an airport security and TSA agents would open your luggage, and if there was something in there they liked, a nice sweater or something, that they got to keep it? They would do stuff like this frequently, and people were sick of it, but they couldn't do a thing about it because of this big regime that was over them. So that's why people thought of them as being so self-centered. And Zacchaeus acknowledges that about himself as well. But you know, all of us have that nature in us to think about ourselves first. What's in it for me? That's our first impulse, our first kind of sinful, greedy, desirous impulse, not to think of the other person, but of us. Even for people who are Christians, who have been brought to faith in their Savior and things and know that that's wrong, we still have that impulse in us. It's still alive in each one of us. Without the Holy Spirit, that's what we would be. We would be just focused on me and everything. Now think with Zacchaeus here, what a stark contrast to this guest that comes to his house. Okay? Think how different, the mindset of Jesus is so completely different from that self-centeredness. He comes and chooses to seek out this sinful man, which is going to cause some of the people to question his sensibilities. He even looks for him up in the tree. We're told he says to him, the Son of Man, speaking of himself, Jesus says, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. His entire mission as the Son of God coming from heaven was about other people and not himself. To completely come into this world, to bear the burden of all of our wickedness that would have kept all of us out of heaven, to take all of that on himself, put it on his shoulders, and go to the cross, and to be completely abandoned by God, which is that's what I deserve for my sin. It's what you deserve for your sin. To be forsaken by God. And he willingly took that on himself to suffer and feel, which really what hell is like, in order for us to be forgiven, to shed his blood, so that every person in this room today could be forgiven in the eyes of God. We're told by St. Paul about Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor. Complete opposite mindset from Zacchaeus. And despite having every divine right and reason to condemn and crush this greedy, stealing man, Jesus instead deals with him with grace, compassion, and mercy, and a heart of forgiveness. And as Jesus, I always think, what was it like? Zacchaeus must have had a pretty nice home. He was very rich. What was it like as Jesus walked through the door of his house and saw all of this wealth? But as Jesus walks through the door of his house, Jesus brings with him the Holy Spirit, who is now going to walk through the door of Zacchaeus' heart and is going to cause him to have his heart be melted by the gospel, to know of Christ as his Savior. And as the Holy Spirit now comes to occupy his heart, to take possession of his heart, as he comes to cause him to hold on to Christ as his Savior and to see how wonderful it is that heaven's been given to him as a free gift, now a new owner has taken over the heart of Zacchaeus. And just like my friend with all the things he did amazing to that car, God the Holy Spirit, who now is the new owner of Zacchaeus' heart, makes a tremendous change in him. Listen to this again. I love how Luke says, Zacchaeus stood up. So they're having dinner. Zacchaeus stood up. Can you imagine him standing and making an announcement? Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And I want you to notice something. There is no indication in our text that Jesus asked him to do this. This has just come purely because of finding out about his Savior. It has been worked in him because there's a new owner, in his heart, the Holy Spirit causing him to love Christ. The nature of the gospel is that it doesn't come to you and me and make demands. In other words, you can have all of this from God, forgiveness of sins, life in heaven, if you such and such. It makes no demands. It just brings God's grace freely, puts it in our lap, and steps back and lets us enjoy it. Let's the Holy Spirit through that grab our hearts and take possession of our hearts. And then that very gospel, that tremendous charity work from God to us, the greatest charity work in the world ever, that tremendous charity and generosity of God automatically produces in the believer a desire to look at others in a different way. The gospel itself automatically produces a love inside of us to help other people. Divine love works in this selfish heart of Zacchaeus, and it stirs up that same divine love toward others. 3 weeks ago here in chapel, we sang a Norwegian hymn from the 1800s written by a guy named Magnus Landsted. And I always love this verse. I'm going to quote it again. When Jesus comes, oh blessed story, he works a change in heart and life. God's kingdom comes with power and glory to young and old, to man and wife. Through sacrament and living word, faith, love, and hope are now conferred. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus gives the description of the great judgment scene. And all of those who by God's grace have inherited heaven are now coming and being led into heaven. And God, as he looks and watches over all of this, he says, I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. But what's interesting to note is the believers who God is acknowledging this in their lives, they're not paying attention to this. When did we do this? When did I do that? It's just something that naturally comes out of those who have come to possess by faith the grace of God and the wonderful hope of going to heaven that we have through Christ. When Jesus comes, oh, blessed story. Amen.